Our scripture reading for this afternoon's lesson will be Psalm 102, verse 1. Psalm 102, verse 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let me cry, and let my cry come unto thee. Well, I'm glad to see that you saw fit to stick around, and let's go ahead and worship God a second time. I do appreciate you being here. Just a quick overview, kind of catch us up. We've been looking at the Psalms, one psalm at a time, normally on Sunday nights, as time permits. So this is a bonus psalm, because we were just going to do this next month, but since I'm preaching again today. And as we look at the Psalms, we need to remind ourselves that each one is Hebrew poetry. And so it's not written the way English poetry is. It doesn't have to rhyme. It doesn't even have to be laid out in a certain way, if you will. But it would have made sense in Hebrew. And that's really going to come into play, especially with today's psalm, because it's going to mention some names of things that we're familiar with in 2018 that would have been just a little bit different when David wrote them. So with that, let's look at Psalm 102. I've titled A Psalm for the Afflicted, and I get that from the title here. You know, the Bible is an optimistic book of hope and a book of joy and redemption, and we can also take it with us when we have to go into the valley of suffering. For instance, many people turn to the book of Job when they try to understand about suffering. And they say, well, I'm suffering. Why, Job suffered. For 42 chapters, more or less, Job suffered. So let's read about Job. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I love the book of Job. But Job didn't understand why he was suffering. In fact, it's not until the very end that he starts to question God. And God kind of lets him know where he stands. It's still a good place we can learn from. One thing that we need to remember when we read accounts of Job or Psalm 102, for instance, is that God is God. And while man is accountable to God, God is not accountable to man. God does not have to tell us why he does anything. He doesn't have to. Now, he's revealed things to us so we can better understand him. But God doesn't owe it to me to explain why this is happening or why that is happening. And we need to keep that in mind when we experience things. Now, Psalm 102 is a psalm of suffering. In it, we're impressed. We find the frailty of man, but we also see the eternity of God. And like Job, it doesn't directly address suffering, but it does not leave us comfortless. It points to a hope that's greater than our suffering. So our title here, it says it is a prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and poured out his complaint before the Lord. Well, what is someone that's afflicted? Suffering of some chronic pain, physical or spiritual. So it's not just that you stubbed your toe and you're afflicted. No, this is a chronic thing. You have whatever. It's ongoing. And then we also see overwhelmed. So it makes me think of a flood. It's over our heads. It's greater than something that I can bear alone. And it says poured out his complaint before the Lord. It makes me think about Hezekiah in 2 Kings 19 when he received information. In verse 14, he went into the house of the Lord and he poured himself out before God. He was going through something and he realized the only correct way to take it was to God. And so that's what Hezekiah did. This is what David's doing in this psalm, what the psalmist is doing here in this psalm. It's spreading his troubles out before God. Song we sing in the songbook, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. One line in the song says, Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Sometimes we keep things on ourselves because we don't tell God about them. This is a psalm that teaches us to tell God about things in our lives. So with that, let's look. There are a couple of divisions we can find. And the first one is in verses 1 and 2. The psalmist will make his appeal to the Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me specifically. When he talks about, remember me, hear my prayer, let my cry come unto me, unto thee. Perhaps in a situation, all we can do is pray. Sometimes that's all we can do. Maybe just cry out to God. Makes me think of Romans 6 and 28. We sometimes don't always know how we ought to pray. But the Spirit itself makes intercession with us, which groanings which cannot be uttered. Sometimes we don't know what to pray, but we just start praying to God. May not be able to fully discern it, but we're just communicating with God. When he talks about hiding not my face when I'm in trouble, We got to remember that God does not turn away. If man leaves, man is the one that leaves from God. God does not move. But when he says, incline the ear unto me, it's almost like stooping down to hear the voice of a child talking. Because they're not on their level, so you have to bend down, maybe get eye to eye, or put your ear up to them so you can hear what they're saying. And then when he says, hear me speedily, there in verse 3, or answer me speedily, there's urgency. He's distressed. Now let's read verses 3 through 11 as we see the human condition. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as a hearth. My heart is smitten, and I withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone on the housetop. Mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me, for I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping, because of thine indignation and thy wrath, for thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. Talks about the human condition. When he talks about the smoke quickly passing, it's just blown in the wind. It's irrecoverable. He talks about bones there in verse 3. They're left black from the heat of the flame. He's been through a trial, and so he's dark. Grass cut down, withered in sun. He says, all my strength, all my vigor, all my ability is gone. I am just worn down. He talks about forgetting to eat bread, and also his bones cleaving to him. He's not just fasting. That's deliberate. This is a loss of appetite. Sometimes we fast because our doctor tells us to do an exam. The Bible in the Old Testament commanded people to fast for certain things. But if you miss a meal because you're fasting, you're deliberately missing that meal. Well, here the psalmist says, I'm missing a meal because I have no desire to put food in my body. And because of that, he says, my skin is drawing on my bones and I am going to wither away if something doesn't change. And then we get to birds in the Bible. We get to a pelican, and we get to an owl, and we get to a sparrow. And it may be a little bit difficult for us to properly identify these birds that are mentioned. Read somewhere that the pelican is likely a bird that we call the yellow-bellied bulbul, B-U-L-B-U-L. Got to remember, this was written in Hebrew, and it was translated from Hebrew into 17th century English, so some words translated, and the translators did the best they could. But we see, we don't think of a pretty songbird, more of a loon or a crow or a hawk by day, and then he says owl here. And so, pelican, bird of the day, and then we also have the bird of the night. And then we know more about the sparrow there in verse 17, or verse 7. Alone on the top of the house, singing all night, one of the most lonesome sounds. Hank Williams said, like the lonesome whippoorwill, he sounds too blue to cry and to fly. He thinks he just might die. He's just sitting there. Why? That's just a lonesome sound. One bird out there. No mate for it. Well, that's how the psalmist says, I feel. I am lonesome, and I just want to cry all night long. Now, we get to verse 8, and he says, my enemies reproach me, and they are sworn against me. Makes me think of the passage in Acts chapter 23, verses 12 and 13, where a group of Jews, they came together, and they bound themselves under a curse, saying that they wouldn't eat or drink until they had killed Paul. You remember that story? Well, here he says, my enemies, they're sworn against me. He says, they're going to stop at nothing until they defeat me. Now, luckily, we don't have enemies usually like that, but Satan more or less is like that for us, spiritually speaking. Well, we keep going on down. We see in verse 9, ashes are eaten like bread and mingled as drink. Ashes on the bread associated with suffering and grief, they've fallen into his bread. You put sackcloth and ashes on you when you would go in a form of repentance. So you put the ashes on your head. Well, you're so sorrowful, your head's bowed in sorrow. The entire time that you're crying, you're eating. So the ashes fall from your head into your bread and you just eat it. This is a man that is sad and upset, but it keeps going on. The indignation in verse 10, just like with Job, we see he lifted him up and cast him down. Sometimes it seems the higher you rise, the further you fall. We know life's all about up and downs. But the last in there, verse 11, they're like a shadow that declineth, the withered like the grass. Life is frail and passing. Life's just a little bit each and every day. And then we have a pause. So I want you to say, we've just talked about how frail man is, and look at verse 12. But thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever in thy remembrance unto all generations. It's a dramatic contrast, is it not? Man is frail and man is going down, but God endures forever. And now this psalm turns to hope. Let's look at verses 13 through 22. For thou shalt arise, have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time has come. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones, and favor the dust thereof, so the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute, and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary, from the heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion, and his praise in Jerusalem, when the people are gathered together in the kingdoms to serve the Lord. Verses 3 through 11, doom and gloom is man. Verse 12, God is forever. Verses 13 through 22, let's get back to hope. The psalmist is looking forward to that time when there will be all worshiping together. Now, this is not specifically quoted in the New Testament, but there are similar prophecies that are. Time will not permit us today, but if you just want to make a note, I would note Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Isaiah 2, 2 and 3 has similar wording. And Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. So that's Isaiah 2, 2 and 3. And Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. So there are two beautiful passages in the book of Isaiah that sound just like Psalm 102. And those are more mentioned in the New Testament. But regardless, the idea of hope is here. But we could still make some New Testament applications. For instance, Zion there in verse 13, well, that's the church. He talks about the heathen and talks about the king in verse 15. Well, that'd be the Gentiles. You talk about losing prisoners and healing those that are sick and healing those that are afflicted. It's talking about being saved or salvation from our sins. We see comfort in the fact that regardless of my little state, the work of God is greater. Makes me think of Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. And with that, let's look at the last five, six verses. 23. He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. I said, O God, take me not away from the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old thou hast laid the foundation of the earth. And the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture thou shalt change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. Not just David, but he said, now it's the common lot of earth. It's a great passage that teaches against how we don't need to be materialistic. But in conservation, the idea of sustainable, the earth is not sustainable, but God is. And home, our eternal home of heaven, if we're faithful to death, it's never going anywhere. It's not going to be on this earth, as some people think, but it's going to be eternal. It's not carnal, but it is spiritual. Hebrews 1, 10 through 12 says, And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall all wax old as does a garment. As a vesture thou shalt fold them up, they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall fail not. Well, that sounds a lot like Psalm 102, doesn't it? What's he talking about? The subject is Christ. Some people think that Christ's mission on the earth was to save the earth, but the earth shall perish. Sometimes our heartache and trouble is because we've depended too much on frail earthly things when we should depend more upon God. We sing a song, Time is filled with swift transition. Not of earth a move can stand, but build your hope on things eternal and hold to God's unchanging hand. Jesus Christ asked the question in Mark 8:36, What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world, yet lose his own soul? He has gained nothing. So how do we get hope from this psalm? It is a psalm of someone who's afflicted, a psalm of someone who's been going through something for quite some time, and it looks like he's not going to get relief from it. but he knows that there is hope in God. What song did we just sing? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When we're in Christ, being a faithful Christian, we have that hope. And we don't have to worry whatever may happen in the world, because we have that eternal hope. And Psalm 102 points us to the New Testament where we can see that hope. Let me ask you this afternoon, do you have hope? Are you living faithful to God after obeying the gospel? Here, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. Are you remaining faithful unto death? If you're not, why not? Have you been thinking about it this morning and afternoon? Why not get back on track with God? You have the eternal hope if you're faithful. If we can help you in any way at all, please let it be known while we stand and while we sing.